everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the April employment report, as well as Chairman Powell's press conference. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Senior Economist America's Brian Rose. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian. So let's get started. Let's begin with the April employment report. How did the data come in relative to your expectations, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So overall, the report was weaker than expected. The headline non-farm payrolls increased by 175,000. That's versus consensus of 240. And there were some small downward revisions as well. And the other aspects of the report, also on the weaker side, the unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9%. Also, average hourly earnings increased only 0.2 month over month. And in year over year terms, it slowed to 3.9%. That's the lowest since June of 2021. And this is, you know, important from the Fed's perspective. They want to see wage growth slowing to something that's more compatible with their 2% inflation target over the medium term. And average hourly earnings now is basically there. We also had the number of hours worked, so average weekly hours ticked down. So if you look at it, you have slower job growth, slower wage growth, less hours worked. That has negative implications for labor income. And given that the savings rate is already at a very low level, now if labor income is slowing, it's going to be hard for consumers to keep spending at at a rapid pace. One other thing that I've been looking for, and we finally saw in this month's data, is government hiring has slowed a lot. So only 8,000 increase in government employees. That had been averaging 55,000 a month up until now. If you look at what happened after the pandemic, government hiring was lagging behind the private sector. But now, you know, they've caught up. And because of that, you know, I expect to see less rapid growth in government workers. And, you know, that has been a considerable, you know, contributor to overall job growth over the past year. So again, you know, you add it all up, nothing really dramatic, you know, but almost everything on the weaker side. And you combine all these, you know, slightly weaker things together, and it gives you a fairly soft report overall.
So I want to move outside of the jobs report. What were some of the other notable data releases from this week?
So we had other labor market related data this week. We started on Monday with the employment cost index. This is generally considered to be the best measure of wages that we have. It was up more than expected in the first quarter, accelerating to 1.2% quarter over quarter from 0.9 in fourth quarter last year. So that was a strong number. But we also had the JOLTS data on job openings, and those showed openings down around 5% month over month in March at 8.5 million. You know, we peaked at more than 12 million, so now down to 8.5, which is still, you know, stronger than we had pre-pandemic, but, you know, clearly trending lower. Also, within that report, you had the quit rate slowing to 2.1%, so it's a new low, and actually lower than the pre-pandemic level. And this is important because, you know, typically people quit their jobs in order to make more money somewhere else. And, you know, the fact that the quit rate has fallen so much suggests, you know, the labor market just isn't as hot, and people aren't able to find those, you know, much better paying jobs elsewhere. Now, we also had the ISM manufacturing PMI. This was soft overall, falling back below 50. and also new orders fell back below 50. On the other hand, prices paid increased above 60. It's the highest since June 2022. Kind of an anti-Goldilocks number with softer growth and higher inflation. Part of this is just reflecting the run-up in commodity prices that is felt in the manufacturing sector. I would point out though that the comments from the survey respondents in the science MPMI weren't that bad. So sometimes you get this little bit of a disconnect where the numbers are in one direction and the comments from the people taking the survey and the other. So, I don't think this is a disastrous, but again, a bit softer than expected. We also had home prices rising by more than expected. This is February. This data takes time to come in, but those home prices rising at a faster pace again. Also, vehicle sales rising in April. And really near the top of their recent range. So, you look at these two numbers, the housing, vehicle sales, these are the more rate sensitive areas of the economy. And, they're not doing that badly. It gives you the sense that monetary policy isn't, extremely restrictive. It's not having a huge impact on the economy.
So, Brian, let's turn to the Fed. What are your takeaways from the statement in Chairman Powell's press conference? And further, what are your expectations for rate cuts in 2024?
So the main takeaway from this FOMC meeting was that the higher monthly inflation prints we've gotten so far this year. So core CPI has been at 0.4 every month so far this year. So that is going to delay the start of rate cuts. But in his press conference, Fed Chair Powell said that he continues to see rate hikes as unlikely. So, they may not be able to cut as soon as they thought, but they're not feeling pressured into hiking. And our base case remains that we'll see a first rate cut in September and then one rate cut per quarter after that. Now, it's true that, we need to see better inflation data for the Fed to start cutting. But, as we got from this morning's labor report, the labor market side of it is looking better. So you see softer labor market conditions and, this makes it easier for the Fed to cut. And you have to keep in mind the Fed doesn't need inflation to get all the way down to its 2% target. Before they cut, we just need, a couple of months of better inflation prints, and I think conditions will be right for the Fed to start trimming rates.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, and I want to turn to next week. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
Fairly light in terms of data. I should mention we'll have later this morning the ISM services data, and then next week get the senior loan officer survey. So this is basically the Fed goes to the banks and asks them about the lending conditions. And this is, important aspect, especially for smaller businesses. They're facing a lot higher borrowing costs because banks have tightened their lending standards and also because the Fed has raised rates so much. So the last survey showed the banks aren't tightening much further and, expect to see something similar this time. We'll also get data on consumer credit and, keeping an eye on this because credit card balances have really soared over the last couple of years. People are using their credit cards to fund their spending. And I think, we're approaching some kind of limit on this where, we can't keep going up at the pace we've seen over the last couple of years.
Perfect. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.